Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning. Happy Thanksgiving to you. I'm sure you had one. If you didn't, well, hopefully the show will make your day a little bit better. The kind of show I love to do. Why? Because my career, my background in holistic medicine has taught me that we've got three factions. We've got conservative medicine that often, unfortunately, doesn't see beyond the end of its nose. And on that basis, I think it shortens your options when you're facing illness. That's one faction. And we've got the other faction. We've got the holistic practitioners, the acupuncturists, the chiropractors, the nutritionists, the groups of people who seek to remedy health through natural means. But when I say another group, I mean another group of very well-intentioned people that sometimes reach too far without having that good base in science. Now, those two groups are often opposed to each other. The reason I do this show, and welcome to the show if you're new. The reason I do the show is what I love to do is find dust covered in the back of the library where nobody looks, all the science we're ever going to need to show, to prove that the basic postulates of holistic health are good, hard, sound science. And you, the public, doesn't get to hear about this. And that's what I love to do. And the reason that I do this like this is because too often when people get sick, when people are facing real debilitating symptoms, they're pressured. The peer pressure, the institutional pressure upon you not to seek natural means, not to rely upon your body's natural mechanisms to heal. You're so overwhelmed by people telling you that there's no science. There's no studies, there's no publications, there's no sense. Your family, your friends, your doctors all stand around you and say, to cure yourself holistically, naturally, to depend on your body to do this, that's nonsense. There's no science behind it. And the reason I do this show is because there's so much science behind it. There's just so much if you look. Too many times we don't look and find. Well, what I'm going to bring you today. Today's show is sympathetic dominance and disease. Words you might not be familiar with, words you might be very familiar with. But nonetheless, to make it functional, well, that's the purpose of today's show, to give it more context. Sympathetic dominance, in other words, stress. How sympathetic dominance or stress, the real mechanism behind how stress influences disease, and today, of course, we're going to focus on cancer. Now, I did this last week. I did the Warburg effect last week. And last week, you saw how the hard science tells us that sugar, just sugar, feeds cancer. It told in the show last week, I tried to explain the mechanism as to why sugar feeds cancer. I explained how sugar, how cancer is a funny cell, how cancer is a aberrant cell. It's a maverick cell. It's the cell that goes off with its own mind and makes metabolic choices that are strange. And in that strangeness, to survive, it has to be fed 10, 20, 30 times the amount of glucose per unit minute. Now, when you're sick, that is something you should do. Get off sugar. Stop it. Bring the blood sugar down. And amidst all the remedies out there and all the advice and all the naysayers and all the people that are going to tell you which color green to drink when you're sick is hard science. And the Warburg effect is hard science. Today, we're going to get into the fact that if you've gone sympathetic dominant, and we're going to define it and then give you a sense of what we mean when we say reverse it. But if you've gone sympathetic dominant, if your stress mechanism has gotten out of control, and who is that? Well, in a sense, who is that not? Today, we're going to get into the science behind how if your stress mechanism has gotten out of control, how that will drive a cancer, sustain a cancer, and compel a metastasis to occur. And you can relate that to any disease, any symptom getting worse, any disease going towards its last stages. So, welcome to the show. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Sympathetic dominance and disease, how cancer, how stress influences cancer. I have an amazing video. Those of you driving, yes, you can't see the video, obviously. If you can get to the website, straighttalk.cc, please do. If you can't, of course, for understandable reasons, listen to the show again. Don't do this show with one hit. You can get on the archives, straighttalk.cc, two C's.cc, two T's, and listen to the show again. It's okay to do that. One of the driving themes here is that you've got to increase your educational commitment. You can't just do it off a quick show. You got to push a little more. The payoffs are enormous if you'll get educated. So get to the website if you can. While you're listening, if you're driving or working and you can't, I'll describe things that I'm actually seeing and that some of you are seeing. Great video. That's off YouTube. And you're going to see a polar bear. Some of you have seen this already, but this particular YouTube segment makes commentary on the polar bear and relates it to polar bears in the zoo and then to human beings. Super important. I've got articles at the top also. The role of the nervous system in cancer metastasis. Sympathetic nervous system regulation of the tumor microenvironment. These two articles, hardcore science, not out of the United States, but nonetheless hardcore science, telling you how the nervous system initiates, maintains, and takes to end stage what we call cancer metastasis. Point being, you've got to get in there and halt it. We've got an article from Wilhelm Reich. Reich, who pioneered this relationship between stress and disease way back in the 1920s, and his conclusions. All right, let's take a look. First, picture number one, Hans Selye. Why do I bring this name up again and again and again? Because he had an institute in his name in Quebec. He's beyond respected by his peers. He's mainstream science. And he's the guy that really broke down and dissected the process through which stress, chronic, will shift the autonomic nervous system into impulses that will force your cell to destroy itself. So let's break that statement down. Out of your brain comes electrical wires, and those electrical wires, unknown to you, are telling all your organs, all your cells, to speed up or relax. When those impulses from the brain through these nerves, the autonomic nerves, we say, tell your cells to speed up, well, then they do more of what they're supposed to do. When you're jogging at the track, your brain's telling your heart through the autonomic nerves to speed up. When you're sleeping at night or relaxing with loved ones, your brain is telling your heart to slow down. When the cells slow down, they do something special. They repair. It's just common sense. The cells either put out and work hard or kick back, relax, And in the relaxation phase, every cell in every organ, in every body, in every place, rebuild themselves and repair. Last week, we went into the cell cycle, ATP production, aerobic respiration. Last week, we went into this notion that the cell makes ATP. That's money. That's currency. That's how everything gets done. That ATP will get used for the cell to do what it's supposed to do. Hey, heart, speed up. You make ATP for that. Or the ATP, the cellular currency, is used to repair the cell. Whether your cell repairs or your cell speeds up is under the control of the autonomic nervous system. Okay? All right, you've got that. Now, we take the autonomic nervous system, CLA did, and he broke it down into two pieces, the sympathetic and parasympathetic. The sympathetic nervous system, meaning those impulses that speed up, and the parasympathetic, meaning those impulses that slow down. And what CLA did is coin a phrase called sympathetic dominance. Now, this is the key. This is what you have to bring into yourself deeply. CLA is saying that most of you have become, especially you city slickers, us city slickers, have become sympathetic dominant. We live in sympathetic dominance. This is so big. It's just so big in understanding. This is just so deep. Well, for me personally, why would I ever talk about nutrition when we're giving nutrition to sympathetic dominant people? What good is your nutritional supplementation in a state of sympathetic dominance? That's how big that is for me. It became impossible for me in the field of nutrition to really dispense, to suggest nutritional solutions to people who live in sympathetic dominance. And of course, who is that? Well, it kind of is everybody. I'm going to create some very high standards today for people to go into that other club, meaning people who are actually balanced. If you think you're balanced in your nervous system, in other words, if you don't think that the ravages of stress dominate your physiology, in fact, you believe yourself to be balanced, I'm going to hold you to some very big standards. I'm going to show you pictures of animals. I'm going to show you paragraphs related to what people do when they're not sympathetic dominant. When people relax, there is a mechanism that you can observe, that you observe in animals, that people don't generally do, and which is what God gave us to fortify our argument that we're balanced autonomically. I'm going to expound on that later, but right now, what's important is for you to understand those terms. Autonomic nervous system, those wires that speed up or slow down your body. And that CLA, highly respected scientist, medical doctor, suggested that almost everybody lives in a sympathetic dominant state. After that, you're understanding that if you're approaching your health from a purely nutritional standpoint, what CLA would say to that is while you're trying to alter your chemistry through nutrition, if your nervous system is imbalanced, you're fighting the uphill battle. Those are large statements. Let's take a look at some of the pictures. Picture number four. CLA broke down stress into three phases. Phase one was the alarm phase. Okay, so you're at work and the earth shakes and there's a little tremor and furniture breaks. That's stage one of the alarm phase. That's the point at which your sensors are picking up that something's wrong. And at the speed of life, your brain is going to tell your adrenal glands to spit out a lot of hormone in the form of cortisol and in the form of adrenaline. And that's the rush you get. That's why you can jump higher, you can run faster, and you can respond to stress, to emergency type stress, in such an effective way. You can be tired. You can be run down. You can be about to sleep. You feel those walls shake. You're sprinting wherever you're going. This is stage one, the sensation, to stage two, where your body responds now. What Soleil said that happens to people who simply don't ever rest is that they stay in stage two. In other words, they're always hyped. They never slow down. They never rest. They forget what it's like for their bodies just to shut off. You see this with sleep disturbances. You see this with people that need to take anti-anxiety drugs. We have so many examples of what stress is all about. And if you look around you, you'd have to admit to yourself, by and large, most people, especially in the cities, live such an existence that they're in that constant alarm, chronic stress state. Now, here's what happens over time. Over time, your neurotransmitter, your hormones, over time, your cortisol, over time, your adrenaline, over time, what comes out of your adrenal glands hits a level where you've got no gas left in the tank. And that vacillation between too much adrenal function bordering on exhaustion makes you very, very vulnerable. By the time you hit stage three in exhaustion, if you're running around looking for herbal solutions, I mean, I get this all the time. I couldn't overstate this more. People seek help when they can't function, and that's common sense and that's understandable. But by the time you seek help and you can't function, you're usually in that stage three level of breakdown. And the stage three level of breakdown means there's no juice left in the endocrine system, the glandular system. So again, when we say neuroendocrine system, we're talking about a relationship between the autonomic nerves, the sympathetic, parasympathetic nerves, and the glandular system, mostly the pituitary adrenal communication routes. By the time you're robbed and exhausted in that endocrine area, by the time you're sympathetic dominant and imbalanced, you're facing crisis. And this is where people usually start looking for help. Now, when I see people stuff themselves with supplements and herbs, flocking to the health food stores, flocking to the holistic practitioners, so on and so forth. I mean, I've done this. Anybody in nutrition has fed people supplement after supplement when the fact is that their structure of their life has become so harried with massive stress that you're in the law of diminishing return. This is not where you get the real return for your dollar. So really responding to this concept in a deep way, attaching to it deeply, and then responding to it in a deep way is so critical. Without this, we push more people into holistic health looking for a quick fix than you do in the hospitals looking for a quick fix. What's the difference? You want the quick fix in the hospital? You want the quick fix across a desk in some nutritionist's office? Is there really a difference? I don't see much of a difference. It's changing the fundamentals, and changing the fundamentals are usually outside of nutrition. The day you get up and say, I need help, holistically included, is the day your issues go beyond nutritional solutions. That is my finding. And I love the nutrition. I live for the science of that. But the bottom line is, as Cile is saying, the autonomic nerves control it more. All right, good. See? You just kick back, take in the information. Now here we got picture number 8. We're talking about the parasympathetic and the sympathetic nerves. And you can see all the things that the sympathetic fibers do. The sympathetic fibers dilate the pupil. They stop the flow of saliva, right? Under stress, you notice how your mouth gets dry. Under stress, you're accelerating your heartbeat. When people have asthma attacks, we inject them with adrenaline and it dilates the bronchi. Sympathetic fibers do what? They stop digestion. If you're having a meal and somebody says something very upsetting or something happens that's very upsetting, you lose your appetite. That means sympathetic autonomic fibers stop digestive juices. Parasympathetic fibers allow the flow of digestive juices. The sympathetic parasympathetic fibers are opposed to each other. They do opposite things. They're classically antagonistic. Now, this vagus nerve, you've heard me so often talk about the vagus nerve, about the vagus nerve getting stuck up in the neck, about the vagus nerve that distributes itself to every organ of the body, save a few. The vagus nerve is the nerve, cranial nerve 10, comes out of the brain that distributes the parasympathetic flow to all the organs. So if that vagus nerve is doing what it's supposed to do, your organs know how to relax and repair. Yes, they do. And if that parasympathetic nerve is outbid, if it's dominated, if it isn't allowed to express because you're so sympathetic dominant, well, then you're never in repair. And that puts you in a very dangerous place. We'll explain in a minute. So those parasympathetic fibers, they come out of the brain via cranial nerve 10, and a whole bunch of them also come off the sacrum, your backbone there at the base of the spine, the sacrum. You look in picture number 7 if you can. Picture number 7, you see the sacral nerves on the lower, on the bottom of that spine there in picture number 7. They're talking about the sacral nerves. The sacral nerves are also largely parasympathetic, if not completely. So two places in your body give slow down, relax, repair, chill out, go to sleep, don't worry about anything impulses. The parasympathetic nerves through the vagus nerve, and the parasympathetic nerves through the sacrum. This is why when you fixate the sacrum, I mean, there's so many implications of this. This thing about the sacrum, when I talk about the sacrum, when the sacrum fixates, when the chiropractors and the body workers and the yogics talk about sacral fixation, that means you choke out your parasympathetic supply. Men, when you lose your erections, when you ejaculate prematurely, when you hit that certain point where you think, oh, my God, it's my age destroying my sex life, look to your sacrum first. Look to fixation in that bone, because if it's stuck shut, the parasympathetic fibers do not flow to the genitals. And ladies, it's the same for you. When you can't hold your urine, when you're urinating excessively, all of these things, you have to look towards sacral fixation, because when the sacrum fixates, it hurts the parasympathetic flow. People with TMJ. So I'm just giving you some examples of the repercussions of what happens when you block the autonomic nerves. People who clench. I must have done 3 or 4 shows on clenching and head trauma. The clenchers. I think I may have to go into this more deeply future tense. Everybody's clenching. What is going on? Too many people clench. When you clench and you grind, and if you get one of those big plates in your mouth, that doesn't stop the clenching. It stops the grinding. You go to the dentist and he makes you a night guard. People tell me this all the time. I say, you know, you have a wear pattern on your teeth. You're clenching. And they go, yeah, but I have the guard. The dentist made me the guard. The guard does not stop you from clenching. Do you understand? The guard stops you from grinding. Good. That's a plus. But it is the clenching that shuts off the vagus nerve. Clenching destroys vagal outflow, we say. It's not a little thing. That's a big thing. Because the vagus nerve is directing the brain intelligence when the hypothalamus and the pituitary are identifying problems and sending out commands through the vagus nerve. If the vagus nerve is compressed, those commands do not hit the cell. They get scattered and skewed. We say you've lost control of your autonomics. We say sympathetic dominance now takes you over. So you can see where we're going here. Have you been taken over by a sympathetic dominant existence? And I would bet you, yes, it is you more than no, it's not you. And if so, what constitutes a balanced autonomic nerves? What's the standard I'm going to hold you to? Well, we've got a little bit more to do before we get to that. This is where I want you to go up to the articles. Again, I put these articles so you can get to the website later and look through the articles. And I can tell you that the myth of science, as I've experienced over 40 years, the myth of science from grammar school, from my father teaching me about electrons and protons when I was 4 years old, through all of high school and all of college and all of after that and the whole thing. The myth of science is that it's complicated. It's not so complicated. If you can fix a car and you can bake a cake, you can understand science. And I think it's a terrible tragedy that especially in the United States, we've kind of pawned off science to this thing that is out there that we just don't have relationship with because, of course, it's too complicated. It is not. We may not think it's important because where we put our money may be important and the real estate we buy may be important and raising children and so on and so forth. But don't think it's so complicated. When it's complicated, you're not learning it where you should learn it and in what ways you should learn it. So take a look at this article. The role of the nervous system in cancer metastasis. Read it on your own. However, take a look. That's that article at the top, The Role of the Nervous System in Cancer Metastasis. On that first page, I sectioned off an area. You can see it right there under sympathetic nerves. And what this article is going to tell you is that the nervous system modulates. Now, if you read the article, which, of course, we're not going to do right now, but if you read the article, what it's going to tell you is that the sympathetic nerves modulate, this is number five there, angiogenesis, and the microenvironments in tumors to affect metastasis. I mean, do you know how big that is? Department of Radiation Oncology, somewhere in China. Department of Gastrointestinal Tumor Surgery, somewhere in China. Provincial hospital affiliated to Shandong University, somewhere in China. You know, it's kind of funny, I got to tell you, a lot of the best articles are not out of the NIH. They're not out of the United States. A lot of the best articles are out in China. I can tell you, as a scientist, I can tell you that the best money for scientists is not the United States. It's in Taiwan. I can tell you that if you're a scientist today and you've got something hot and you want to upstart In other words, you want to do a quick start business and look for financing? Don't look in the United States. Go out of the United States. Investment into brilliant scientific ideas finds far more fertile territory in Taiwan than it does the United States. Other countries respect their scientists in much, much more comprehensive ways. We have a science problem here. Right now, we think profit and return, and that leaves less room for creative entrepreneurship. And when you look at the articles you need to constitute to justify holistic stuff, the hard science behind holistic stuff, here it is. This article is about to tell you that what Soleil is calling sympathetic dominance is exactly why you metastasized. That's big. And again, I stress. Oh, yeah, that's right. You know, smart people, when they listen to this show, yeah, got it. Stress, cancer, get it, makes sense, move on. Wrong. You do this all the time. Wrong. That is not what I'm talking about. Wrong. You can hear something a million times, and it really doesn't get to your soul. You can repeat something a million times, and you don't attach to it. You have to inhabit the concept. It has to affect you. I mean, that's what repetition does. The difference between intelligence and non-intelligence is intelligence will attach to something with truth a lot faster. But what we substitute that with are people who are didactic. I heard it. I can spit it back to you. I get it. Yes, that makes sense in my frontal lobe. Now let's move on to the next piece of data. That, unfortunately, is what the world is reducing, especially the techno world is reducing intelligence to. And this is not intelligence. Parrots can memorize and repeat. Pigs do a good job of it also. But what we do as humans is attach to the truth of a concept and change a behavioral pattern. So I love these articles because I know what happens to people. They know that all this health stuff is important. The minute you get your disease or your tumor or the minute you have a real problem, I see it all the time. It all goes out the window and we take a few supplements and just pray. And we do the mainstream, conservative, institutionalized therapy and out go your organs and every other piece of you to either surgery or drugs. And there's no real consideration because we didn't have a foundation. This show is your foundation. These articles are what you utilize. I've been doing this for 5 years with articles. I have hundreds of articles in hard science telling you that you have options that you can stand on. So, number five, the nervous system modulates angiogenesis. And the angiogenesis is the tumor making its own special circulation. That's what tumors do. They make their own blood supply. And you know, don't feed them sugar. The nervous system interacts with immune function and inflammatory processes to influence cancer metastasis. Do you know what that means? That means that the minute you go sympathetic dominant, your immune system gets stupid. The rate at which your immune system can respond to a cancer cell, the rate, the dexterity, is modulated through the autonomic nervous system. And if you're sympathetic dominant, your immune system gets dumb. Think about this. Boom, no sugar. Boom, balance the autonomic nervous system. Boom, open up the excretory routes. You have options when you're sick, options that are on hard science. And this is where all the misinformation begins. There are no published studies to show that deep relaxation and true autonomic balance can affect a disease process. Well, if there are no studies, then where are all these studies coming from? But then we ask yourself, when's the last time you saw somebody really drastically alter autonomic function in the face of disease? Okay, I'll give you the brass tacks of it. You have to tell people sometimes, quit your job, move to another country. Now, I'm giving you extreme examples. Straighten out your relationship. Radically change your diet. You see, this is what we haven't evolved to yet. There are standards required to shift the neurological system. And often because they're dramatic, and we tend to settle for the magical herb or the magical drug, we never get around to doing the things that are required because we have too much dissension. How many people who are facing chronic illness would actually go live in the woods? How many people would actually go rent a room in a wood house out in the suburbs? How many people stop sugar? How many people would be willing to bring their glucose down to a solid 70 or 80 all day long, nonstop, before a meal, after a meal, and so on and so forth? How many people would really get in to the real science of Banya therapy, of perfusing blood and draining blood at vastly accelerated rates all the way till you can get the response in the bone marrow? So there are dramatic standards of care to make these magical mechanisms within the human body become real for you in healing. But you have to attach very deeply to the concepts. Interactions between the bone marrow and nervous system. The bone marrow sending stem cells all over the literature. Vast arrays of literature stating that the bone marrow deploys stem cells, but not under sympathetic dominant states. And there's some quirkiness about cancer and stem cell deployment I'm not going to get into right now. But there it is, cancer as an independent organ. Listen to that. Cancer as an independent organ is being recognized and should not be isolated from the nervous system. This article came out in 2012. Do you realize how cutting edge this is? It's 4 years in the literature. 4 years and 3 months in the literature. And it's big news to say cancer as an independent organ should not be isolated from the nervous system. Do you realize the implication of that? Look at the abstract. Go to the left there, abstract. The notion that tumors lack innervation was proposed several years ago. They're saying in this article, it's poorly worded, that traditionally tumors did not have innervation. Do you understand? Traditionally, we thought the nervous system had no relationship to cancer, that a growing tumor, that a metastatic cancer was not dialoguing, being influenced by our nerve fibers. That's what we thought. I mean, the implication of that is massive. How naive were we to think? How naive were we to think in science that the autonomic nervous system was not in close reciprocity with tumor development and metastasis? And what does that mean to you, John Q. Public? It means if you want cure, if you want to bring disease under control, it is incumbent upon you. It is obliged that over time, sooner than later, you take drastic steps towards understanding what it means to shut your sympathetic fibers off and start to balance in the neurological system. All right, what am I talking about? What does that mean to you? I wonder. Well, look, I'm going to go to the top of the – switch off that and – Turn to Reich Perfected. Click to view the full article on Reich Perfected. Some of you, if you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. I assure you there is no show like this in America. None. None on AM radio. I'll tell you that. It's not about supplement sales, although herbs are very good. It's about understanding that it's the environment that you drop the herb into that makes all the difference. You spend money on nutritional supplements, well, God bless you. The point is, the environment you drop it into is where this show comes in. And that there's a lot of hard, compelling science for holistic medicine. I'll be pushing that agenda the rest of my life. Click to view the full article on Reich Perfected. Reich Perfected. Wilhelm Reich. Scientist, medical doctor, psychiatrist, 1920s, Vienna, scholarship to medical school, not short on intelligence. Just briefly peruse this. And I'll just cut to the chase. On this page here, where I put number three, Reich's therapy was devised as he gradually began to touch patients. And then go to where it says four. Number four, as the bands of tension dissolve, the autonomic nervous system becomes able to react, and sensations or streamings occur and feelings emerge. If the patient continues, however, this patient will ultimately find total release of tension. This is the standard I'm holding you to. If you don't know what this stuff means, read about it. Learn about it. Look at how your animals, your dogs and your cats, discharge stress. If you're not doing anything similar to that, then you're not cutting it. I don't know how else to say it. This is not a criticism. I'm imploring you to understand what we mean by an orgasm reflex. Terrible word. You see, just not what I would have called it, but it's what Reich called it. When you pet your cat and it starts to unwind itself, right? Its spine comes up. It starts to purr. It starts to drool. That's the dramatic response that balances the nervous system. When your animal goes out and has a fight and comes home and lies in front of the fireplace and purrs and stretches and goes into the bliss state and its body starts undulating. When dogs yawn and shake their spine to their tail, they undulate. Animals do that. People don't. Animals know how to balance the nervous system. People don't. So I don't want anyone listening to the show today thinking that I'm on air talking about go home and read a book and have a glass of wine. Please don't do that. When I say get out of sympathetic dominance, when I say balance yourself autonomically, I'm not talking about a stroll in the park. I mean, I hear this kind of nonsense all the time. Yes, you know, I go to yoga and stretch it out and it feels good. Yeah, I'd say I'm a relaxed person. I am not talking about this. And we've got to get a better understanding of it by looking at nature. Reich is saying that when people, forgive the name here, orgasm reflex, when people blow out and balance the autonomics, they undulate like animals do. Now, I've had Reich on the show many, many, many times. I've talked about him many times. I'm not going to get into this that heavily. But just look this. Click to view the full article. So go back to the articles. Click to view the full article on the Unhealed Healer. And in the Unhealed Healer, no, there's a mistake there. Forget that article. What I was about to show you and what I can simply tell you then is as Reich got into understanding this reflex in people and seeing cure, just like Mesmer did, then he started to understand that the lack of that was what drove cancer. After Reich started initiating in private and group therapy what he called the orgasm reflex, what you see your animals do regularly, that has nothing to do with orgasm. But because the body undulates, he termed it. But in fact, once he started to study that, he transferred his understanding to people with cancer and saw that people developing cancer and moving out of this plane with cancer, dying from cancer, were galaxies away from having this type of command of the nervous system. And in his work, The Cancer Biopathy, Reich proposed that it's effectively this sympathetic dominant state, so distanced from what we observe as true discharge of stress, that drives disease as well as cancer. Now it's 2016. Watch this. Those of you listening today on the radio, try to get to the website straighttalk.cc. At the end of the show, those of you who need counsel, who are dealing with serious health concern, my number is available for you. You call the office, you make an appointment, and get set in the right direction so we can get into the details and the nuances of how to create therapy and solution for you. 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. I've got the best office staff in the world. These people are there for you, and we create macro environments for you to heal in. And that's your job. You have to execute, we direct. That's 714-850-1007. And if you can't do that, at least get to the website. Do more than listen to this show just on the radio. Do more. Because you can listen then again and again. Because it's with real intention that I ask you to do that. I know that just to listen to this cursorily on radio in 60 minutes, it demands more. I design the show because it demands more. I think we do the public a terrible disservice when we give them baby talk, because we say, our managers say, our publicists say, the media people say, you have to dummy it down for the public. You have to give it to people simple, non-complicated. You got to give it to them quick and easy because they won't listen to the show. Well, I'm telling you, this is the end of knowledge. When we start teaching in our schools, our high schools, our grammar schools, to the lower common denominator, we start making terrible mistakes. It's not the America that took us to the great place we're in today. What you do is you ask people, and I'm asking you, to listen to the show again and again. I don't charge you for it. Because then you can really learn concepts that you can trust when you're in the health trenches. Get to this here. How to discharge trauma. Trauma release polar bear. Look at that YouTube clip and just go to the beginning. Some of you have seen this, but not this one. This thing about the polar bear has been picked up. And if you're listening in the car, just listen. You'll understand. What we're looking at here, all right, studies on animals suggest they have ways of discharging trauma. Humans can do this too, but this behavior is virtually unknown. It has never been deliberately filmed or perhaps seen. Well, that's not true, but this is a great video. I'm at 21 seconds. The only video that demonstrates this key healing behavior is an obscure nature documentary involving a polar bear. Well, it's one of the great examples of it. And some of you guys have seen this thing on the polar bear. And what you're watching is a polar bear now. If you get up to, if you move it to, say, a minute and 11 seconds. Everybody, move the video to a minute and 11 seconds. And you're watching a polar bear that's been tranked shake off stress. Because trauma releases extreme amounts of energy, the body must shudder and release the memory. If not, the memory gets locked down for life. I mean, I applaud the people that put this on YouTube. Now, I used this this video a year or two ago, but it didn't have the captions on this. American consciousness is starting to understand what animals do. This is a dynamic clip. And the captions on it, this group that produced this, it added the video with the words to be applauded, because what they're telling you is that animals know how to get rid of trauma. Animals know how to stay connected to nature to keep their autonomic nervous system balanced. And that may well be that animals live in human terms well into their hundreds. Humans don't. Right? A dog year is every 7 years. Right? Your dog lives to be 20. That's 140, or your cat. Isn't that what people always say? But isn't that the same animal that goes out and has fights, that may kill to eat, that may be hunted, that may have a piece of its flesh torn off, and comes back into the house, and within a day, within an hour, within a week, within a whatever, that's your cuddly little kitty cat again? Do you realize the genius of that? The command that nature displays all the time, the command that nature displays at being able to put itself back into autonomic balance, is it's truly, truly remarkable. And that's what this polar bear is doing. This polar bear has been tranked. It's been touched. It doesn't know what's going on. It may never have had a human contact. And there in the film, that animal goes into the orgasm reflex. It's what Reich was talking about. It's what Mesmer was talking about. It's what ancient dance was talking about. And it is what people do not do today. So please, don't delude yourself into thinking because you read a book, stroll in the park, sit in the sun for 10 minutes, and kick back that you're balancing the nervous system. Not in ways that really mean something when you have a health concern. So I don't want to criticize your version of what it is to relax, but I do want to say it is going to be dreadfully insufficient. Happy Thanksgiving to you. Don't you love it? Real knowledge. Now, I'm at a minute and 20 seconds. Get to a minute and 20 seconds and click the article, click the video back on at a minute and 20 seconds. And then if you keep going, just scroll over to a minute and 48 seconds. Go to a minute 48. A minute 48, there are two kinds of animals that generally don't go through this process. There are two kinds of animals that don't exhibit that undulating orgasm reflex. There are two kinds of animals that generally don't go through this process. And then at a minute 52, they show you a polar bear in captivity. Astounding. Astounding that animals in nature will discharge like that. But not in a zoo. Astounding. Two types of animals don't do this discharge. Zoo animals and human beings. Zoo animals and human beings. I mean, I've had this video for years here, but the way they caption this, just kudos to them, man. It's showing us what Reich was talking about. It's showing us what CLA is talking about. It's showing us that sympathetic dominant species create cancer and they sustain it, and we have all the mechanisms worked out. It's telling us that nature knows how to reverse this. It's telling us that what Reich was on is an example of what human beings do that nature always does. And then this one is showing us the two groups generally. I mean, that human beings don't know what this is, this discharge, this unwinding. That human beings don't know it. News enough. But when you see animals in nature do, and then note, that when animals are in captivity, they lose this ability. That, to me, is staggering. Because the implication, of course, is that we are just a bunch of zoo animals. And that is my point to you. And that is what 2017 has to bring us all. a fresh perspective on the fact that we have created the human zoo. Desmond Morris from 60 years ago was not far from off. It is getting to the point where your disease states are frightening. I don't care how much genetic engineering comes to save the day over the next 50 years. This zoo we are avidly pursuing is going to take us down as a species. It really and truly is. It's turning us to plastic. It's turning us to polyethylene. We have a problem. We have a crisis. We have a crisis in the industrial cities of the world. We are living in electronic clouds of radiation. And I am seeing, even in the 10 years, even in the last 5 years, even since I started this show, I am seeing people come in with increasingly complicated problems. It was prophesized. It was prophesized in the sense that it was claimed as we destroyed the ecosystem, this would happen. But what I don't think anybody really understood, not fully, you really couldn't understand it, is that the electronic clouds that engulf the cities today, more than anything, drive our cancers, drive our diseases. And the stress incurred by living in these electronic beams deny us what traditionally we used to discharge and recreate the intelligence of the neurological system. And this is where we are being terribly shortchanged. So you have to hold yourself to these very high standards. They appear high. You know, the paradox is that when people are sick and you ask them to do what they need to do, you start to realize, you say, by God, there isn't one thing a normal person does from the morning to the evening that constitutes health. And that's big, because that means you have to take real action. 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. Call that number if you want to take real action. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.